Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Christian Research Institute President Hank Hanegraaff. Our mission at CRI is not only to equip you with sound biblical teaching and spiritual discernment, but to help you become a winsome and fruitful witness of Jesus Christ. Because the credibility of our faith hinges on the answers we provide to life's biggest questions, there's often not a second chance to get those answers right. To learn more or to find resources to help you grow in grace, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or go to our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. It's always great to be in the studio as we answer your questions throughout the United States and Canada. Indeed, questions coming in from around the world. Do remember our contact information on the web, equip.org. Via the mail, it's Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, resource consultants, they are standing by, 888-7000. And the letters CRI. You know, there's a lot of bad news around. And we can so often get caught up in all of the woes of humanity. But we must never allow the bad news to overwhelm the good news of the gospel, nor to divert us from the steps that together we can take to turn the tide of history. One person with God equals a majority. I've mentioned this before, but the words of Abram Kuyper have always stirred me. When principles that run against your deepest convictions begin to win the day, then battle is your calling, peace has become sin. You must, at the price of dearest peace, lay your convictions bare before friend and enemy alike with all the fire of your faith. In other words, with passion. Too many people in the Christian world are on the sidelines. They're cursing the darkness, but failing to build a lighthouse in the midst of the gathering storm. We have enormous challenges facing us, but we also have enormous opportunities. You think about the technologies available today. They are unique in human history. During the Bible Answer Man broadcast, I'm getting calls from all over the world, talking live to people in Japan, people in India, people in Korea. That was simply impossible several decades ago. The world has changed, but we can harness technology to change the world. And think of what scared, scattered disciples did in the epicenter of a Caesar cult. They were being viciously persecuted. And yet they had seen the resurrected Christ, and they counted not their lives worthy even unto death. Courageously they turned a draconian empire upside down. And that is what I'm asking you to join me in doing. Making a difference while there is yet time. Human kingdoms, they come and go. But the kingdom of our Lord and of our Christ will endure forever. So what we are doing now doesn't have just a momentary benefit. It's not just for this epoch of time. It is for eternity. And so I'm asking you to stand with me prayerfully and financially in the battle for life and truth. As you give, I pray that you will be blessed with a deep an abiding awareness of His person and His presence. As always, you can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org, or you can write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, Zip code 28271. As always, resource consultants are standing by, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. So many of you are already hanging on. Go right to the phone lines. First up is Tim. He's listening in Palm Coast, Florida, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Tim.
How you doing? God bless you, sir.
Thank you.
Good evening.
Good evening.
A good friend of mine is a Seventh-day Adventist, and we were having a discussion, and he was explaining to me about the Sabbath, and I wanted to know what you thought about it. Should we still, as Christians, should we still honor and keep the Sabbath, sir?
Not in the sense that the Seventh-day Adventist would say. There's a sense in which we can say with certainty that the fourth commandment is still efficacious today, but it has a fulfillment. And if we stick with types and shadows, when the substance has come, we fall into the most dangerous snare of all. For it is in Jesus Christ that we have our Sabbath rest, and therefore we now worship on the first day of the week in honor of the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So the pattern still remains. It's never been abrogated. 6 days we work, the seventh day we rest. And it is in honor of the fact that we have our resurrection rest in Jesus Christ. He is, as the Bible tells us, our Sabbath rest. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Ryan, listening in Red Deer, Alberta, Canada, CJCA. Hi, Ryan.
Hi, Hank. Thanks for taking my call. My question was in regards to 1 John 1:9, I believe it is.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard some, well, they're strange to me, preachings that this isn't, in fact, written to Christians, that this is written to, I guess, Gnostic Christians, and this doesn't apply to Christians, and we don't need to confess our sins, and I don't know. I take great comfort in confessing my sins and having that relationship with Christ. I didn't know if you maybe had some thoughts on that.
Yeah, well, the first thought I would have is that if you read the context of John's epistles, it is very clear that he is writing to believers. Secondly, we don't want to make a pretext out of an isolated text. What we know in reading the whole of Scripture is that over and over again, we are told to continuously confess our sins. In fact, this is precisely what James says. And when he talks about it, he is using a present active subjunctive, which is a grammatical construction which denotes continuing action. In other words, keep on confessing your sins. Our Lord himself taught us to pray, "Forgive us our trespasses as we ourselves forgive those who trespass against us." So we are called in Scripture to continuously confess our sins. And this is, just before I went into the broadcast, this was my practice. I did it today, and I've done it every single day as I come into the broadcast. I pray. And as I pray, the first thing I do is I confess my sin, in the certainty that he's faithful and just, as John says, will forgive me of my sins and will purify me of all unrighteousness. So the idea that we should not confess our sins, though very popular in the Christian church today, is simply without biblical merit.
Yeah, no, I agree with you, and I heard this, and they said, I guess, they said that this is speaking to Gnostic believers or Gnostic Christians?
Well, it's simply not true. And I mean, this requires someone to just sit down and read 1 John in its context, and you see immediately that the context is John writing to his dear saints. And so he's writing to believers. And to augment all of this, we did an article in the Christian Research Journal. So if you want that, I think it's up online at equip.org. It's called Grace Upon Grace. And it is a fantastic article. And the reason that we wrote that article for the Christian Research Journal is because many, as I just alluded to earlier, many Christian leaders today are warning their devotees that to continually confess sins is tantamount to cheapening God's unmerited favor, or even worse, they say, To confess your sins continually is to mock God. But the Apostle John urges, as I said, his dear children in the faith, those, he says, who have been forgiven on the account of Christ, to continually confess their sins. Now, if he's addressing them as dear children, children in the faith, who have been forgiven on the account of Christ, he's most certainly speaking to believers. In the updated version of the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, I address that question because this has been one of the pressing questions. There are Christian leaders, you can hear them on Christian radio and television, promoting this idea that we are not to confess our sins. Simply unbiblical and cheapens grace itself. We'll be right back.
In The Lord of the Rings, Tolkien's character Faramir voices the thoughts of countless soldiers throughout history. War must be, while we defend our lives against a destroyer who would devour all. But I do not love the bright sword for its sharpness, nor the arrow for its swiftness, nor the warrior for his glory. I love only that which they defend. If you too love what together we defend, our faith, biblical truth, and our freedoms, become a member of CRI's support team today by calling 888-7000-CRI. And as our thanks, Hank Hanegraaff will personalize to you a copy of his black leather-bound, silver-embossed Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit our website at equip.org. That's 888-7000-CRI, or simply visit our website at equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff will be back right after the break. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated, is a comprehensive collection of the most often asked as well as most difficult questions Hank Hanegraaff has received in nearly three decades of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. This expanded edition contains new entries, leading readers to a better understanding of God and our relationship to Him in Jesus Christ. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated, is a comprehensive, handy, and attractive volume that you will return to again and again. Take your exploration of God's Word to new heights and receive the revised and updated Complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org.
In the new book, The Cross Before Me, Pastor Rankin Wilborn and philosopher Brian Greger offer a provocative perspective on why the cross is not just the way to salvation, but the way to the abundant life. Drawing on biblical truth and historical writings, they ask, why do we still feel restless when things seem to be going our way? How can suffering bring more peace than success brings? And what does Jesus' cross teach us about how to live a full and flourishing life? This unique book helps us reimagine the good life as we learn to delight in surrendering our own power and embracing the life-giving weakness of the cross. Be sure to read The Cross Before Me. To receive your copy, call 888-7000-CRI and support the life-changing work of the Christian Research Institute. That's 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org.
The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. www.bibleandsermonbroadcast.org. Why do we still feel restless when things seem to be going our way? How can suffering bring more peace than success brings? What does Jesus' cross teach us about how to live a full and flourishing life? These are some of the questions Pastor Rankin Wilborn and philosopher Brian Greger address in their new book, The Cross Before Me. The cross of Jesus is not just the way to salvation, but the way to the abundant life. This unique book helps us reimagine the good life as we learn to surrender our own power and embrace the life-giving weakness of the cross. Be sure to read The Cross Before Me. To receive your copy, call 888-7000-CRI and support the life-changing work of the Christian Research Institute. That's 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. And now let's rejoin your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Brandon next, Kansas City, Kansas. Hi, Brandon.
Hey, Hank. How are you tonight?
I'm well, thank you.
I have kind of a two-part question here. So obviously, myself, just like anybody, I want to know the truth, and there can only be one singular truth logically. So I guess my main question is, so many religions have taken the truth and twisted it and turned it into, you know, different theories and different beliefs and whatnot. What I question myself is why God has allowed the truth to be so open to interpretation instead of there being like a very clear singular truth that everyone can choose to believe in or not. There seems to be hundreds and thousands of different theories and supposed truths that can confuse, you know, everybody. So I guess that's just my question, is why God leaves it so open to interpretation.
Yeah, well, one would think that there are hundreds of thousands of options. In reality, there are not. We have the option of pantheism, the idea that all is God and God is all. We have the idea of philosophical naturalism, that is the idea that everything is a function of nothing created in everything, life coming from non-life, and the life that comes from non-life producing morals. And then we have Christian theism, and that is the best explanation of all. And that is an explanation that is not hard to grasp. The reason it's not hard to grasp is because all human beings, wherever they live, have the light of creation. The heavens declare the glories of God. Or as Paul said, his eternal power, divine nature, clearly seen through what has been made so that men are without excuse. But we also have an inner light. It is the light of creation. It is written on the canvas of our consciousness, which is to say that if we respond to the outer light and respond to the inner light, Christ will give us his own light. And this is precisely what Jesus Christ himself said in response to a similar question asked by Nicodemus. He said, light came into darkness. Men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. So the problem is never that there is not enough light. The problem is that men love darkness, and therefore they don't respond to light. Blaise Pascal, I think, said it best. He said, God dwells in enough obscurity so that if you do not want to find him, you will not. But he dwells in enough light so that if you do want to find him, you will. And this is in tandem with what was said by the Apostle Paul in Acts. He was on Mars Hill, and there he said from one man, God created every nation of men that they should inhabit the whole earth. He determined the exact times and places that they should live. He did that so that men might reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. So we live in a universe in which we know there has to be a universe maker. You find a basketball, you know there's a basketball manufacturer. You live in the universe, you know that there's a universe maker. To say there is not is obscuring that which is self-evident. And if you respond to that light, again, you will be given more light. As far as the Christian faith is concerned, certainly there are things that are enormously hard to grasp. Otherwise, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing. But there are also the main and the plain things. And the main and the plain things are so simple that a child can understand them. Christ, is he divine? Well, all the evidence points to the fact that he is God in human flesh. It's not something that we believe because we're addicted to blind faith. It is faith that is augmented by a refutable fact. Jesus demonstrated that he was God through the immutable fact of the resurrection. So the point is this, respond to light. The substantive problem is not that there isn't enough light. Respond to light. It isn't the absence of truth that damns. Ultimately, it is the despising of truth that damns. Let me say one other thing, and then I got to move on. You know, if you look at it in really big macro issues, there are only two kinds of faith systems. One is humanity reaching up and trying to become acceptable to God through what they do. The other is God reaching down and becoming knowable to us through the person and work of Jesus Christ. Again, anyone that wants to find God, he is not hiding. I love those who love me, and those who diligently seek me, says the Almighty God, will find me. He is not hiding. He is not trying to create barriers to finding him. If we search after light, he will make himself known to us. Back to the phone lines. We'll go to Carolyn next in Columbus, Ohio. She's listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Carolyn.
Hi. Oh, Hank, I'm so glad you took my call. And I want you to know that I pray for your ministry all the time.
Oh,
I really love what you do.
Thank you.
I've been thinking about those college students that died in Oregon and how the man with the weapon asked them whether they were a Christian or not. If they answered yes, they were a Christian, he immediately shot him in the head. If no, he shot him in the leg. And I kept thinking to myself, what would I answer? Now, I know I have salvation, and I know I can never lose my salvation. But Jesus said, if you deny me before others, I'll deny you before my Father. So I wonder, in that situation where none of us know what we're going to do when our life is in danger, would I have the grace to say, yes, I'm a Christian? And if I didn't, what would that result in?
Well, first of all, you brilliantly underscored the answer to the question in asking the question. You mentioned grace, and I am utterly convinced of this fact, that God gives us the grace we need when we need it, and oftentimes not a moment before. This is one of the beauties. God never blazes the floodlight down the path of our lives so that we can see what's coming up. In his mercy and grace, he withholds the future from us. And then as we go through difficult times, he grants us peace in the midst of the storm. And so you yourself have answered the question in a beautiful way. I think about the Muslim militants in Syria. I was talking about this just before the show. I think there were somewhere in the vicinity of 1.1 million Syrians that were Christian. Many of them have been crucified and beheaded. Multitudes have been exiled. And I was reading the story the other day of Muslim militants in Syria who tried to force 2 Christian women and 6 Christian men to convert to Islam. And when they refused, here's what happened. The women were brutally raped, and then they were beheaded alongside the men. In fact, that same day, the militants cut off the fingertips of a 12-year-old boy in a failed attempt to force his Christian father to become Muslim. And when the father refused that forced conversion, he was tortured, and then he was crucified. And all of this in adherence to the Quranic command cast terror into the hearts of those who disbelieve, therefore strike off their heads and strike off every fingertip of them. This was said by the model man, the quintessential man of Islam, Muhammad. And even today, if you say anything about Muhammad that is considered to be defamatory, there is an outcry. But this is the logical extension of what his life and practice was. Well, to augment what I have just said, think about the early Christians. They were tortured, vilified. They faced the tyrant's brandished steel, the lion's gory mane, the fires of a thousand deaths, and yet they never denied their Lord. And what happened? Were their lives in vain? No. The world took note. And in time, they were, by the power of the Spirit, able to turn the world upside down. What they did in their time, we can do in our time. But it's not by might. It's not by power. It is by His Spirit. And so, whether you're facing torture in Syria or you're in America in a comfortable situation, all of us face difficult times. And all of us are called to stand for truth, to stand for life in the midst of the gathering storm. Out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. I'll be right back here, Lord willing, with more of the show.
Thank you for joining us today. Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to defend the faith, answer Bible questions, and encourage Christians to watch their life and doctrine closely. To find resources to help equip you, go to equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call us at 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. With over 500,000 copies in print, Hank Hanegraaff's Bible Answer books were born out of his many years of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. He's taken his on-air answers to questions and chiseled them until only the gems emerge. Questions involving biblical interpretation, cults, science, ethics, apparent contradictions, and much more. This remarkable collection of concise answers is now even better. My goal, says Hank, is to take the complex and make it simple and memorable. Receive your copy of the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated, as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. That's equip.org.